welcome to this Control Risks podcast. I'm Casper Layton, and we're going to be looking at India's economic development and its relationship with the crime of kidnap for ransom. It is, of course, a key year for India, with elections due by May that will most likely see a loss of parliamentary majority for the governing BJP and a return to coalition politics. To discuss this, I'm joined by Tania Ildefonso, one of our special risks analysts, and I'm also joined on the line from Delhi by our senior political analyst, Hemant Shivakumar. Hemant, if I could come to you first, how is the Indian economic environment looking with the 2019 general elections due in just a few months from now?
The Indian economic environment, at least on the federal front, looks a little bit dull going into the election. Prime Minister Narendra Modi, who in 2014 led the Hindu right-wing Bharatiya Janata Party to the largest majority the country has seen over the past 25 years, was elected on an anti-graft, pro-reform and pro-economic progress platform. While there is a lot of there's been a lot of momentum as far as the anti-graft platform has been concerned, there is more mixed sentiment over how India has fared on the economic front, especially during the last couple of years. This is largely attributed to three key factors. One has been a policy measure called demonetization, which Modi introduced overnight in 2016, where nearly 80% of all currency notes in circulation went out of the windows. And the second issue was around the introduction of the Goods and Services Tax Bill. There have been a lot of technical issues in terms of how it's being implemented. The third issue has been a banking crisis, which has been triggered as a result of bank frauds, where corporates who have taken loans from both state-owned and private banks have not have failed to pay their debts, and as a result of which, banks have reduced lending to more small and medium business enterprises. So all these three factors, which is the demonetization, the GST, as well as the banking crisis, have contributed to an economic slowdown over the last couple of years. Modi, whose prospects were pretty positive even up till 2017, right now is staring at a possible election defeat, which means that there's going to be increased political instability. We are anticipating there's going to be a coalition government. It can either be led by the BJP or by the opposition party. But more broadly, this has repercussions on the economic front, because a coalition government means fragmented policy decision, and corruption risks are likely to increase as well.
And what specifically does this mean for foreign-based businesses in India?
I think the positive story that's come out of the last 3 or 4 years has been that the operating environment for foreign-based businesses has significantly improved. If you recall, India has moved 23 positions up to the 77th rank in the World Bank's Ease of Doing Business Index. Now, while there is a broader economic downturn over the last couple of years, states have especially risen to the occasion. So states have emerged as champions of investment. They are going out to different countries, or they're hosting investment summits where they're calling for foreign investors to come and invest. And as a result of which, states have become more cognizant of producing a better operational environment for businesses. And more broadly, you'll see both state and federal governments likely to kind of adopt these kind of economic measures to encourage small and medium enterprises to build their businesses in the coming months.
Okay, thanks for that summary there, Hemant. If I could turn to you now, Tania. India has the fourth highest recorded rate of kidnapping for ransom globally, according to absolute numbers recorded by Control Risks in 2018. And clients with operations in India need to further understand how to reduce the risk to their employees. Do you think economic development in India has translated into an increase in the number of kidnap for ransom cases?
Economic development in India has translated into an increase in the number of Indians that are now part of the country's middle class, in the number of local business people and employees. And these business people, these employees, are the targets of financially motivated criminal groups in the country. These groups assume that these individuals, their families, or their employers have the financial means to quickly meet their ransom demands. Therefore, what we can argue is that the target pool of these criminal groups has grown significantly, particularly over the past decade. And we've seen a particular increase in the states that have seen rising levels of investment. So in 2018, for example, the highest number of reported cases occurred in the state of Tamil Nadu. Historically, as Hemant was just saying, this has been an agricultural state, and now we've seen a number of startups, new companies, and Tamil Nadu has now become one of India's most urbanized and has one of the country's largest state economies. So this explains why it's the country's kidnapping hotspot in 2018.
And what can you tell me about the kidnappers that are targeting these India's business people and employees?
These kidnappers possess medium and or high operational capability. They're sophisticated. They often plan abductions in advance, capitalizing on the potential victims' predictable routines. Following a period of surveillance, these groups determine when and where the potential victims are most vulnerable and organize their abduction accordingly, so very sophisticated. In some cases, these sophisticated kidnappers use social media platforms to gather information about potential victims, including family connections, about their employers, places they regularly visit, like restaurants. And once they have acquired this information, they plan the abduction. Also something very interesting, in isolated cases, the kidnappers also showed the capability to demand and receive ransom payments in virtual currencies.
Okay, Tanya, so there you're really talking about the risk to Indian nationals of kidnap for ransom. What about foreign employees of businesses based in India? What can their employers, what can these businesses do against the risk to their people?
Well, kidnap for ransom in India largely affects Indian nationals. While companies often ask us about the threat in the context of expatriates and business travelers, it's the local national employees who are most at risk. Another important thing to keep in mind, Kaspar, is that the kidnap for ransom threat in India is not sector specific, but can affect any type of business in the country. Last year, for example, at least 29 sectors were affected, including the real estate and the construction sectors. So we recommend all of our clients, despite sector, to maintain up-to-date, reliable intelligence and insights into kidnapping trends and crisis management best practice. While kidnapping for ransom threat in national capital territory chiefly stems from financially motivated criminal groups, the threat in Assam state, as Hemant can confirm, also stems from militant groups whose targeting and modus operandi are completely different. And finally, and of course very important, training and planning around crisis management best practice will also ensure better preparedness and an effective response in the event of a kidnap.
All right, so clearly a lot of things to bear in mind when managing risks, whether you have Indian nationals as employees or indeed expatriates. That brings us to the end of this Control Risk podcast. I'd like to thank Tanya Ildefonso there and also Hemant Shivakumar for your contribution.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening. Bye-bye for now.